Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Second to None podcast here on the Believe Podcast Network and the 365 Sports YouTube channel. I am Blaine Gilmer with my co-host here, Tavares King, and it is Wednesday once again, folks, and we're going to be talking more SEC matchups, previews, and Tavares also getting into a little bit of recruiting here. I know you've been jonesing to talk a little bit of recruiting. You like to hear what's going on the trail.
Yeah. I like to know what's happening. I like to know who's getting it done. You know, my guy Nick Williams over there at Texas A&M. I know he's hot on some trails, so I like to know what's out there.
Absolutely. I'm sure you want to know who's going to be lining up in between the hedges in coming years as well, because Georgia's always, they never stop recruiting, man. It's a full time operation over there.
Oh yeah, 1,000%. I mean, I obviously know Kirby and that staff gets it done, man. Guys are in and out of there like clockwork, man. And so I know that they're getting some top priority cats in there.
Yeah, so we'll be talking a little bit of recruiting here. We're also going to give our SEC East and West power rankings. And notice we're saying not standings, guys. This isn't who beat who. This is who do we feel is playing the best football right now and we have the most confidence in and has maybe even a more powerful side of the ball that they can lean on and help to win a game versus others. The quality of play, all that goes into consideration. So we'll have recruiting, power rankings, and then we're going to do previews of South Carolina versus Tennessee in Knoxville. And then, of course, we'll preview the Georgia Bulldogs visiting the Auburn Tigers in the Deep South's oldest rivalry. Another chapter of that rivalry renewed at 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 Central over on the Plains this week, the CBS game of the week. So excited to preview those games, and you can bet on that being some great action, guys. And speaking of betting, we would be remiss if we did not thank our sponsor here, Bet Online, guys. Bet Online is back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back for another football season. As always, Bet Online is your number one spot for all your pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, Bet Online continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head on over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus. Don't forget to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your bonus from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet Online, it's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet Online, where the game starts. So TK, as always, we're thankful for Bet Online sponsoring the show. And you know, speaking of Bet Online, there's a lot of people that are putting it's basically a gamble, man, when you're putting your future as a head coach into the decision of a 16, 17, 18 year old young man. TK, you've been there on the being recruited side of things, and I know it's changed a lot here just since the time you were recruited. But you know, for a lot of people that'll never go through that process, just tell people, you know, what's it like when you've got these men making millions of dollars a year that are, you know, coming to you and really relying on you to help restock, replenish their program and be a part of what they're trying to build.
Man, honestly, it's kind of surreal if you think about it that way. Obviously, the game has changed so much more since, 2006, 2007 when I was getting recruited. But now, man, there's probably more so a little bit more money involved with all this NIL stuff and things like that. But from the angle that you're talking about, dude, you are they are putting a lot of stock and a lot of faith in you early on as a young kid. So a lot of pressure comes with that, and you try to ease that pressure with going with a place that you feel comfortable. With people that you feel comfortable, a situation that you feel comfortable, somewhere you could step in and, you know, be you. Not have to change too much of what you do and who you are, and just feel inviting. Find your niche.
No doubt. And we wanted to highlight some teams, where they are, the SEC teams right now, and the rivals team rankings. So, as you know, if you don't know already, I write for UGASports.com, which is the rivals affiliate for the Georgia Bulldogs. And, you know, I keep up with a lot of guys. If Georgia's recruiting you, then you are guaranteed to be recruited by all the other SEC schools as well. So I just wanted to highlight right now in the rivals teams rankings, you actually have Notre Dame, Penn State, Texas, and Oregon, the top four in the country in those classes. But all of those teams have 21 or more commits on their to their commitment list right now. Then you have Alabama at 5 and Georgia at 6. Alabama and Georgia respectively have 15 and 17 commits. So a lot more room to add commits. The rich are going to get richer there with Alabama and Georgia. Both of them are going to be in position to vie for a number one class. Again, each of those two programs has had the number one class, I believe, 5 out of the last 6 years in the rivals teams ranking. So that's kind of what's going on in terms of the team ranking. You got LSU at 9, but LSU, a trend right there. They were very, very high as second or third early on in the summer, TK. But as this season has started, LSU has not picked up a commitment since July 30th. And, you know, a lot of, you know, one specific game's not going to make up a recruit's mind, but trends do. And TK, do you think they're kind of seeing the trends and seeing some shakiness there in that LSU program?
I mean, we've been talking about it for a little while on our podcast. That's that one, that seat's getting hot. Two, they've been struggling. Obviously, they struggled last week against Auburn. Auburn came in there and left with a W in what I think is probably one of the hardest places to play. And defensively tackling woes. So I think obviously as a recruit, you take note of that. You take note of what's going on around the program. Are these guys winning? Does it look like they're going to be winning? And, right now it doesn't, it looks like the latter.
Yeah. And TK, when you talk about a coach, right, when you're a position coach, you're essentially a salesman, right, in this recruiting process. And, you know, as an entrepreneur yourself, when you're trying to make a sale, you've got to highlight the finer points and you got to give a great presentation and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, if the product is not quality, if you don't have quality product, then, you know, those sales aren't going to be there. Well, translate that to football, you know, the product is the play on the field, and LSU's play on the field has suffered. There's been some inconsistency, to say the least. Running back has always been somewhere that they running back and defensive back at LSU has always been just a ultra strong recruiting stronghold, really, for them, a great area that they excelled in. But I think after seeing how LSU's struggled defensively and their inability to run the football, that could hurt LSU in recruiting. The top 10 in the national rankings is rounded out by Texas A&M over there, TK. And Texas A&M is 0-2 right now in SEC West play. As you mentioned, they do have Nick Williams over there as a defensive analyst. He came over as he was a graduate assistant at the University of Georgia under Kirby Smarty. He helped pry Deion Bowie away from Georgia, a Bainbridge native who Deion Bowie oddly enough, he was there at the University of Georgia visiting for the Arkansas game. I saw him there at the game. So Georgia's still not totally out on them, but we'll see what happens there. But Texas A&M is after some big time guys like a Shamar Stewart, that is a four star defensive end, outside linebacker type guy from the Miami area, Ohio State, Texas A&M, Georgia, Miami, all big on him. But with programs like Texas A&M and Miami sliding on that slide, TK, just like with LSU, it could be tough. And even Florida State is where some of these SEC schools are going to prey on Tennessee, because Mike Norvell, coming in the summer, he had a lot of hype, a lot of positive vibes going about Florida State, how they're going to turn it around. And TK, it couldn't have got off to a worse start. And I know a guy that you're, you know, familiar with, Travis Hunter, that plays it at Collins Hill. I mean, I know you've seen him operate and all that kind of stuff. He's a special, special talent, and Georgia is trying really, really hard to flip Travis Hunter, and a lot of schools obviously are trying to flip Travis Hunter. But, you know, just being a coach yourself in the state of Georgia and seeing Travis do what he does, just kind of talk about him and how bad of a loss that would be if Florida State lost him to a Georgia or somehow like that.
Man, that'd be a huge flip, Huge flip. He's a generational type talent. Honestly, had the opportunity to watch him train with my man DJ, the Mad Scientist. He trains up there with him. Had the opportunity to watch him train. Had the opportunity to watch him work at Corky Kale Passing League. And this kid does everything. I mean everything. He covers the whole field in a one high safety scheme, and I runs east west well, and backs up everything he spits out of his mouth as well. So I mean, he's fun to watch. He's a special player and would be a tremendous talent to add to a UGA roster.
No doubt. I mean, that I think if he does flip, Georgia would be the place to go. Another couple of high profile guys, Oscar Delp is making his commitment decision. It's between Georgia and South Carolina. He took a visit to the South Carolina Troy game this past week. He was there for the Georgia and South Carolina game in Athens a couple weeks ago. So he will make his decision. Feel like Georgia's got a good shot there, but South Carolina has family ties for him. So we'll see what Oscar Delp decides. Another one, the number one receiver in the nation in the class of 2022 is Luther Burden. And TK, Luther Burden is a guy that is from that East St. Louis, Illinois area, just outside of St. Louis, Missouri, just across the line over there. The Missouri Tigers are working him hard. There's lots of support there from that program, trying to keep him close to home. And then he's got Alabama and Georgia there trying to poach him as well. When you're a receiver, and even though you may be close to Missouri, if you got Alabama and Georgia coming after you, that's going to be a tough decision, is it not, TK?
Yeah, I'd have to say so, man. You gotta take a peek at the two schools that's getting it done the best, and I'd say the Alabama and Georgia are getting it done the best. And you take another look at the talent pool of receivers that came through Alabama, and again, as a recruit, that's something that you have to look at, as well as what a George Pickens has done in the past few years. And even from that standpoint, the opportunity standpoint at Georgia, you see what they're doing with a young Brock Bowers. So who's to say that can't be you?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, there's a lot to look at and see what's going on there with those programs. But last thing I wanted to highlight about recruiting is Florida's 22nd in the country, TK, right now in recruiting, according to the Rivals rankings. And the thing about that is you have Florida State that is ranked ahead of them in recruiting right now at 7th in the country. And you also have the University of Miami that, I mean, they're down way at 45th in the country with only 9 commits. But you see, my point is when you have Florida State and Miami that are struggling so badly, the University of Florida should be dominating in recruiting, TK. And the fact that Dan Mullen and his staff are consistently falling outside of the top 15 or so in recruiting in the country when those programs have been bad in the state of Florida with him for his entire tenure there, I think that's telling of what Florida has going on there as a program.
Yeah, I think it's pretty telling too, especially with the talent pool that obviously we know Florida puts out year in and from high school, year in and year out. And like you said, with Miami struggling, FSU struggling as well, he should be getting guys. So I think it does say something about the recruiting job that he and his staff are doing. That's something to kind of dive into. So I'll probably dive in a little more to that.
No doubt. Each Wednesday, we're going to touch on recruiting. One thing to keep an eye on going forward in the class of 2023, Oklahoma is way out ahead of everybody. They've got some tremendous wide receiver commits in Brandon Ennis and DeAndre Moore Jr. So Oklahoma will be coming into the SEC. And if they do by the year 2023, that class of 2023 that they have coming in is special, TK. Texas also recruiting very well under Steve Sarkisian right now in his first year. And that's a future SEC matchup, the Red Rival Showdown this weekend as Oklahoma and Texas take on each other. We won't break that one down because they don't have the distinction of being official SEC members.
They ain't got the credentials.
They're not in here yet to be talked about, but again, but they will be soon, and they're going to be recruiting at a high level. So Texas A&M fans, enjoy that little advantage you had for about 10 years of saying, hey, we're the SEC school in Texas and we're the SEC school in the Midwest, because that's not in the greater Southwest area, because that's not going to be the case anymore. Oklahoma and Texas, blue blood programs, a lot of money, and they're going to come in, and that it could be bad news for Jimbo Fisher and them if they don't fix some things in a hurry. But TK, we're going to go ahead and preview our first matchup. We did LSU and Kentucky and Arkansas and Ole Miss on Monday, and now we're going to do South Carolina, Tennessee, and Georgia, Auburn today. So let's touch on South Carolina at Tennessee. Tennessee's a 9.5-point home favorite. The over-under on this one is 52.5. Tennessee hung 62 on Missouri by themselves this past week. So I tend, before I even make a prediction, I'm going to tend to take the over on this game, because I don't think either defense is just a super defense that's going to shut anybody down. So I think there'll be a lot of yardage and a lot of points scored in this one. However, I do like that Tennessee front. Tennessee played very well, that front seven did, against Florida in the first half. They just didn't have the depth, TK, but I don't think depth will be an issue for Tennessee with a rebuilding program like Shane Beamer has there in South Carolina.
Yeah, I really look forward to watching, you know, what they do to Lou Dotty. You know, he's struggling passing the ball right now, just completing about 58% of his passes. So I think that they come after him similar to kind of how they came after Missouri's quarterback, force him to get rid of the ball early and let those guys make some plays in their secondary. But like you said, I think it will be a high scoring game for sure.
Yeah, I mean, but when you talk about Luke Doty, one thing we saw even against Georgia, and he's shown it throughout his career, he has the ability to extend some plays, and you know, he's got some mobility. He has some elusiveness about him. So Tennessee's going to have to be sure tacklers. I mean, TK, you've been on teams that have had to go up against mobile, elusive quarterbacks. I mean, what are some of the keys that you hear the defensive coaches preach to defensive players throughout the week when they're preparing for a mobile quarterback like that?
Man, just contain them. One. Make sure you contain him, set the edge so he can't extend the play, get outside of the pocket. And once you keep him in that pocket, just walk those guys back and put him in his lap. Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that we do really well at Georgia.
Oh, no doubt. Georgia bottled it up. Luke Doty frustrated him a little bit. South Carolina equally has a challenge on their hand, TK, because Hendon Hooker is starting to play some really good football for Tennessee.
He did look better out there. He was slinging it around, 15 for 19, three tutties. He looked really nice out there. They got him some weapons as well. I think he played well.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about Hendon Hooker, you know, Velvis Jones Jr., Javonte Payton, who had the long touchdown against Florida that they connected on. And I was texting somebody during that Georgia-Florida game. I said, or not the the Tennessee-Florida game. I said, no matter what happens for the rest of this game, Hendon Hooker hitting that bomb touchdown to Javonte Payton was a big play for that program. Because, you know, at the Swamp, Hendon Hooker delivering, hitting on a deep ball that had been a problem for Tennessee earlier in the year, and they connect on one. I think just from a confidence standpoint, TK, when you're maybe struggling early on in the passing game and then you connect with a quarterback for a long touchdown, I mean, just talking about what that can do for you as a receiver and offense and kind of the continuity there.
Man, it can ignite everything. I mean, it's something that you guys probably hit on week in and week out during practice. You probably connect on it all week, and then in the game, man, it's just a miscue here or there. Somebody's in his face or something, or he's juiced up and he overthrows it. So when that happens and you connect on him, it's an amazing feeling, and it's kind of one of those things that can ignite an offense, can ignite some confidence in probably the most important person on an offense, the quarterback. And from there, you know, that synergy just takes off.
Yeah, and when you're talking about Tennessee, though, really taking off, where they did it this past week was in the run game. They had 458 yards rushing against Missouri. South Carolina has a good defensive front themselves in terms of defensive ends, guys that are going to probably be able to play at the next level, but they're going to have to really be gap sound against a Tennessee team that is going to use tempo to try to wear out South Carolina. And that volunteer crowd will be rocking after a big win for that program over Missouri. I know Missouri's struggling right now, TK, but when you're a program like Tennessee trying to pick up the pieces, and same thing with South Carolina, they had a nice win over Troy at home after getting blown out by Georgia. So, but before that, so. You know, we'll see, and then lost a close one to Kentucky. I mean, they had a close game against Kentucky, and we know that's a quality loss now because that Kentucky program is really on the rise, a good program, and they were within 6 points of those guys. So, nine and a half point spread. What's your opinion on how this one plays out? Do you think South Carolina is able to keep it closer than 9.5? And who are you going to take outright?
Man, I'm taking Tennessee outright, but. They might be able to keep it a little closer than that, but I'm gonna take Tennessee 35. I don't think they keep it closer than that, actually. I'm saying 35-21,
and they're gonna cover. So 35-21, that definitely puts you on the over in this game. I think Tennessee's on the over as well. I think it may be struggling early for both teams, kind of getting their feel because South Carolina plays hard for Shane Beamer. You got to give them that. Josh Van has turned into a excellent receiver, deep threat for South Carolina. He's got 16 catches, 332 yards, and 3 touchdowns, but they just don't have much production out of that. So can Tennessee I think Willie Martinez is up there with Josh Heupel now, a guy that Coach Willie a lot from your time at Georgia, but there's just not much production elsewhere. So I'm sure that Josh Heupel and his crew will be up there and, try to take away Josh Van, keep containment on Luke Doty. South Carolina will get theirs early on, but I think that Tennessee pulls away at this one at the end, and I like them to score a good many points in this game. I'm going to say – Tennessee wins this one. I'm going to go with the over as well. I think Tennessee's going to score 38 points in this game. I'm going to pick them to win 38-17. So I like Tennessee to win that one. So I'm on the over.
I like that score too, Blaine. I like that. That's nice.
Yeah, they're on the over there. So I think Tennessee ends up winning. It's close at halftime, but Tennessee, I think, has a better front seven and wins with some depth. So Tennessee, TK and I both like Tennessee over South Carolina this week, week 6 of SEC football action. Now, TK, the big game of the week, the CBS game, the 3:30 game, one that everybody will be looking at. That's the Georgia Bulldogs heading over to Auburn, the Deep South's oldest rivalry over there that Georgia has dominated here lately. Georgia's a 14.5-point favorite in this one. That's the largest, I think, favorite anybody's been since 2010 in this game. It's usually a very, very exciting, very tight ball game. But my simple question to you, TK, is will Auburn score in this game?
Oh, man, I think it's going to be a struggle. I think 14.5 points is
– No, I mean, will they score, period?
Kind of wild.
Will they put up more than zero?
You know what? I'm not even going to disrespect my guys like that because I said that Arkansas was going to score 14 or 17 on them.
I know you got some love for Mike Bobo over there.
I do love you, Coach Bobo. I love you to death. But, no, I can't. No. Man, our defense is going to bottle Tank Bigsby up. I don't foresee Lamar Jackson Jr. snapping off Bo Nix, going off like he did last week, man. He was literally doing some special things last week. But we've got guys that get to the ball, bro. We've got guys that again walk O lineman back into your lap and put you in situations to where you're holding on to the ball and and making bad decisions. So I think it's going to be tough, for real. They'll probably get on the board, yes, but I think it's going to be tough.
Auburn's rushing for 238 yards per game right now, TK. They won't even get half of that in this ball game, I predict, you know, because Bo Nix will get sacked several times in this game. Yeah. He's going to try to extend plays. He's going to try to run around. And this isn't that LSU defense that he's facing. LSU's defense is in shambles right now. They're losing contain. Their fundamentals on tackling are horrendous. If LSU goes up and lays an egg in Lexington this week, as both you and I have picked in our Monday episode, LSU to lose to Kentucky by at least 10 points, then you could really start hearing the rumblings of Ed Orgeron being out of a job here soon. And I just Georgia program's in a totally different trajectory right now. I know Tank Bigsby and Jarquez Hunter are tremendous running backs, but when you have an offensive line that is going to get blown up the way that they're going to get blown up against this Georgia front seven, the only chance I think Auburn has of maybe getting a score here or there is if Bo Nix, you know, he is a tremendous athlete, if he's able to extend the play just long enough and somebody loses on protection, he's able to sling one downfield.
As great of an athlete as Bo Nix is, it's seven dudes up front that are just as good.
Well, realistically, Jordan Davis is probably as close to as fast as Bo Nix.
Yeah, and that's scary, bro.
Yeah, I mean, he's 360 pounds, and he can probably run in a straight line. He can probably run close to as fast as Bo Nix. I mean, at 4.8, you're talking about a 4.8 40 out of Jordan Davis is that fast. Bo Nix, but maybe a 4.7, 4.6 guy. I don't think he's more much faster than that. But I do think that Auburn's defense could probably give Georgia maybe some trouble offensively early on. They play hard for Brian Harsin. We'll see how Stetson Bennett. I think it'll be Stetson Bennett again. I just think that Kirby Smart's not going to rush JT Daniels back with that lat injury. So I think Stetson Bennett, I think one thing you want to see out of this Georgia team is I don't think Auburn will be dropping eight like Arkansas did. So I think you want to see Georgia take advantage of some one-on-one opportunities. Jermaine Burton down the field, maybe get a Kyrus Jackson healthy. Big O, you know, worked. He was just dipping his toe into the water last week. Darnell Washington getting back into things. So now that you got 2 weeks of practice under your belt, TK, when you're coming back from an injury, that first game back, you know, it's just kind of filling things out. But then, you know, you got 2 weeks under your belt. He could really be thriving. And you talk about Darnell Washington and Brock Bowers kind of bookends at tight ends. That could be a big dynamic for Georgia going forward.
Yeah, I could see us using Big O obviously a lot more than we used him last week. And you said it, when you come back that first game, you kind of are testing the waters, seeing how things are out there. But he looked good. He looked comfortable, and hopefully he'll feel more comfortable moving forward. I think rock steady. We rocking steady is a good idea, man. Let JT get healthy. Let him do his thing. Stetson is a leader.
He's beat this Auburn team before. He beat him 27-6 last year.
He's done this before. So to that point, he doesn't have to do anything other than what he's already done, and that's be him.
Yeah. How bad do you think the score is? Over under is 45. Georgia, I think their defense, they may score 14 points in this game. Who knows how that goes, but we'll see what happens there. But I like the over. What do you think the final score is, Georgia and Auburn?
You know, they have a really good corner, McCrary out there, Smoke Monday out there. You talked about that matchup. I'm intrigued to see that. I think we can score some points on them. So I'm going to go Georgia 42. Auburn Tigers 7.
42-7, just a beatdown. So he is taking the over, but he's not getting much help with Auburn out of that one. You know what? I say take the over on it, but now that I think about it, Auburn – really may not score in this game. So I don't know if Georgia's going to put up 45. So actually I'm going to switch my, as I've just kind of been talking to myself here, I say self
42,
Auburn may not score in this game. So, you know, I'm going to take that Georgia defense. You know, there's an old saying out there, TK, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them. Right. And, Georgia's defense has shown us who they are. I believe in this Georgia defense. I think it's the best in the country. I'm going to say they go over to the Plains, and I'm going to pick them to get a third straight SEC shutout over here and beat. I am going to take the under, but I'm going to take Georgia to defeat Auburn a solid 28-0 over there. I think just a clean game. Georgia runs the football again, leans on them. Gets a turnover here and there, and it's over before it's said and done. I think Brian Harsin and then we'll do a the best chance. You know Bobo, he's gonna milk that clock. He ain't gonna go a Lane Kiffin over there and try to compound mistakes and make it worse over there like he did against Alabama this past week. So that is what I think is gonna happen here between Georgia and Auburn. So we've covered that. Now, lastly, TK, we want to give our SEC East power rankings. So in our second to none SEC East power rankings, they go like this, TK. We've got Georgia number one, obviously the most dominant defense, and they've got the most depth in the SEC, playing very well. So Georgia number one, SEC East. I've got Kentucky at number two because purely of that defense. I think DeAndre Square, Josh Pascal, you know, J.J. Weaver, Yusuf Corker. I mean, the names go on and on. They've just got a defense that shuts people down. I think they'll do the same thing to LSU this week. So I'm going to put them at number two. And if they can get any kind of production going out of Wandale Robinson and Will Levis, that's a dangerous football team. And I really like that Kentucky Wildcats team. Number three, TK, Florida. I've got them over Tennessee, really because of that head-to-head matchup. But Florida could be trending down here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think those two are right there neck and neck. That's a 3A, 3B situation.
Yeah, we do have Tennessee at four. I really like the way they're trending up, guys. I really think that Josh Heupel is getting this offensive line back healthy, getting them going. Caden Cooper Mays doing their thing. Tyon Evans at running back doing a excellent job. So Tennessee's at number four in our power rankings. Then South Carolina at five. We got South Carolina over Missouri because I just think they're being more consistent. You know, I know that they're not getting the results they want right now, but you can tell the foundations of Beamer Ball 2.0 are there, TK. They're gonna play good defense. They're gonna utilize special teams, and you know, he's just got to get some offensive weapons in there.
Yeah, I think once they get some weapons, obviously you can tell that those cats play for him. They believe in what he's doing, what he's got going on. Once they get some weapons, once they start recruiting better, maybe a few cats from the transfer portal that are unhappy elsewhere.
Yeah, that could be a big benefit to South Carolina for sure. Missouri comes in at number six. You know, Tyler Beatty had a rough game against that Tennessee front seven, only 41 rushing yards on 21 carries. So very unlike that Missouri team who usually runs the football pretty well and is dedicated to it. But Tennessee's front stepped up, played well. And then we got Vandy at seven. You joke.
Eight.
Can we put them at eight, even though there's not eight teams in the SEC East over there, man? Because Vandy, you know, but hey, let's give it to Vandy. They stepped up and beat the poor UConn Huskies, even though they were favored, man. They were favored, man, by 14.5, and they won that game on a field goal at the last second. So even Kentucky winning the toilet bowl, there was a skid mark in that toilet bowl right there, TK, because that was a crappy win right there over a UConn team, and that Vandy program has a long way to go. So that's our second to none SEC East power rankings. Those are presented by the Sideline Sports Network, guys. Follow at sidelines_SN. They do a lot of great work, have a lot of content of their own, a lot of different channels that you can follow on social media. Follow at @SSN_CollegeFB for their just general college football stuff, at @SSN_SEC for their SEC accounts, and each team has an account as well. So Sideline Sports Network, check them out. And then, TK, we're going to end it up here with our second to none SEC West power rankings. Of course, Alabama. the Death Star over there with Nick Saban continues to chug right along. They proved you and I wrong. We thought Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss would have something for them, and the Lane train got derailed.
He went out there gambling, man. He was up there crap shooting.
Yeah, he wasn't even trying to play a sound strategy. I agree with you there, but the Lane train got derailed there, even though they did. I think it was more of Lane Kiffin, that just the strategy that he employed and things like that. I really still like that Ole Miss team, and I think they can beat everyone else in the SEC West. That's why I have them at number two based on that offensive unit, and I think what they'll be able to put together. You saw even late in that game, TK, in the second half, they were able to put up some points. I mean, they scored 21 on Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, let's be clear. Lane Kiffin is a great offensive mind. I think even within the game, like you said, you could see throughout the game, he's going to figure out a way to get some points on the board. So
then I got Arkansas at three, even though they came off a tough loss to Georgia. I think overall, when they face people that just aren't absolutely, you know, mauling them up front because they're overmatched, I think you're going to see that Arkansas 3-3-5 scheme on defense give a lot of teams trouble. I think that scheme will give Ole Miss trouble. I mean, I think in the Arkansas game last year, they employed that strategy, and he had Matt Corral threw six picks in that game. So that could be a big, big showdown there for maybe who ends up as the second best team in the West. And, you know, Arkansas's only got one loss. Ole Miss only has one loss. They still have a New Year's Six Bowl, you know, out in front of them, possibly if they're able to win out and take care of business. I've got Auburn as the fourth ranked team. I know they went up to Happy Valley and held it close with Penn State, TK, but honestly, I don't know. We'll find out how good Penn State is this weekend when they play the Iowa Hawkeyes. I think Iowa's going to wax that tail for them over there because Iowa may have the third best defense in the country behind Georgia and Kentucky, in my opinion. But, you know, we'll see how good that quality loss is. But I think that Auburn team just kind of middle of the road right now, TK.
Yeah, I think they are middle of the road. I think they're doing some good things. And I just think there's some holes in some places. That they're, you know,
wide receiver.
Yeah. There's some holes in some places that you got to have some hands. But yeah, they're about middle of the road, and I'm excited about that game that we got this weekend in Auburn, Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah, Auburn's going to have to get some more receivers in there. They're going to have to get a better solution, I think, at tackle on offense, the left tackle position. And then, defensively, just got to add more depth. They're going to be replacing some key guys in that secondary after this year. So we'll see what happens with Auburn there. Mississippi State's on the rise. I got Mississippi State at five over LSU. Some people say, wait, didn't LSU beat Mississippi State? Yes, they did, but they beat them despite Mississippi State doing everything they needed to do to win that game. It was just an untimely turnover and Mike Leach kind of having Lane Kiffin syndrome there and just doing some crazy things in that game, not really doing what they needed to do to win until late in that game. But I like Mississippi State, what they went on the road and did to Texas A&M this past week. So give me Mike Leach and the Mississippi State Bulldogs at five, LSU at six, and I only put them at six, TK, because Texas A&M is just god awful right now with not having a quarterback in that system. But LSU, until they learn to run the football and do it with some continuity and can, you know, tackle a tackling dummy out there, you know, at some point, I just don't see LSU having much success the rest of this year.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. The last two teams, LSU at six and Texas A&M at seven, those two, you know, historically recruiting well, Texas A&M recruiting well now. You would think that you know, something would be shaking for him, something would be working out, but not able to get it done. Obviously, we know the tackling woes and the things going on at LSU, the running problems. But I think six and seven is where they land on our SEC West power rankings.
There's three ways to get it done right here in this SEC. You see a team that either has the quarterback to get it done, that drives everything and gets it done, or a la Matt Corral at Ole Miss. And then, you know, of course, over in the East, you really don't have any dominant quarterback. So another way to get it done is the way Georgia's getting it done with an unbelievable defense. And then, of course, you've got kind of a combination of both at Alabama. Bryce Young has the ability to be an all-American caliber quarterback, but he's not quite maybe there yet. But guess what? They're running the football, and they're able to help him produce. They ran the football down Ole Miss's throat. Tennessee is running the football and has a strong front seven as well. So LSU's really struggling in several of those categories. Max Johnson could be a special quarterback, but he's got to have some help around him. You know, he's got to help have some relief there. So TK, you know, another exciting week of SEC action. We've previewed the four main games here that we're going to focus on this week. And on our Friday episode, TK, we'll be hitting the best lines of the week, and not just SEC. We may pick a couple outside the SEC that we think, if you want to put a little money down on that through Bet Online, who you might want to pick and some matchups there. TK and I'll have some independent, individual matchups of, maybe receivers versus DBs or defensive fronts versus offensive fronts. We're going to do a little film work over the next couple of days and be back with you on that on Friday. So make sure to subscribe to the 365 Sports YouTube channel and listen to us via the Believe Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you listen to podcast. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button, turn on notifications, and TK, it's about that time and where we'll catch everybody on Friday, man. So you already getting some bets in mind with some of these lines and stuff that you're gonna give people advice on, what you're gonna kind of tell them to hit here?
Not yet, man. I got a little work to do, so I'm gonna get on it.
Yeah, he's going to get on it. TK, you know, I'm sure there'll be some wide receiver matchups that TK is going to bring out to you. But for Tavares King, I am Blaine Gilmer. This is the Second to None podcast, and we will catch you on Friday where we talk about some bets, some individual matchups, and just give some last-second news and notes before we get into the weekend. So we will catch you later.